All right, seeing that it is 10 o'clock and we are recording this meeting, I'll call the meeting to order at 10 a.m. Can we have a roll call, please?
Certainly. Donna?
Here.
Gwen?
Here.
Emily? Lauren?
Here.
Jacob?
Here.
Rachel?
Here.
Okay, Jane's not here today. Carol?
Here.
Okay.
Does anyone have anything to add to the agenda? Then we'll move on to the approval of last time's meeting. I'm sorry, the minutes of the meeting from January 20th. Does anyone have any additions or corrections? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the minutes from January 20th?
This is Gwen, I motion.
May I have a second?
This is Lauren, I'll second.
Do we need a roll call vote for that?
Yes.
Yeah, we have in the past.
All right, please have Donna. A roll call vote.
Sure, Donna.
Yes.
Gwen?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Jacob?
Abstain since I wasn't there.
Okay. Rachel?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, moving on. A share update, please.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Don't have a lot for you today. The big news is that the Aspen product has been under review with the Share Finance and Policy Committee. And so it will be moving forward. We are still working on finalizing some of the details, but the tentative start date to at least sign the contract with the vendor will be on July of 2023. And so from there, we have met with that team to go over some details on implementation. And so the big thing that I think that it's for this committee in particular is that we are going to ask our share committee members, those that would like to participate, if they would like to be involved in the initial decision-making about the pack of what it's going to look like. Of course, each library will have some customization with their page, like their, if they have a logo or specific branding, but the actual structure of what it will look like will probably be determined by committee. And so once we have further details on that, I will be sending it out and inviting all of our committee members to participate in that process. The other thing I have for you today is that our share annual agreements are being finalized, and so they should go out next week. And so if anybody has any questions about that, just a reminder that if you are using the MARC report, that is no longer supported by TMQ. And so we will not be charging for that this year, but the RDA toolkit licensing still will be applicable, but you'll be able to see all of your details with that on the annual agreement. And if anybody has any questions on that, they can certainly reach out to me. I'll be happy to go over it with you.
Quick question on the MARC report. Does that mean come July 1st, we have no longer have access to it?
You still will have access. We have been saying that we will use it as long as we can until it's potential that Microsoft at some point will break it. We no longer have support. So you'll still be able to use it, but we are not charging for it because we know that we won't have support, and there may come a day that it's no longer useful to us.
So will there still be updates with it though when RDA changes? And so it's pretty much stuck. So when RDA changes, MARC report's not going to go with it.
If I may step in, the creators of MARC report have been claiming that they are not updating it. However, they have.
Okay.
They have continued on the side to do it. It's going to be when it reaches the point that they're no longer updating it. I doubt if there's any major changes, they'll want to make that shift, but they're doing minor updates.
Okay.
We're at version 260, I believe.
And I mean, at this point with RDA, they're not really changing as much as they did at one point, but still.
Yeah.
Is there anything else out there that's an equivalent?
That's my question.
Yeah, you know, Gwen, what, yeah. It's very useful and very helpful, especially in punctuation.
Not that we have found yet, but we are keeping our eyes and ears out for something that might be a suitable replacement.
I mean, there are things that Mark Edit will do, but it doesn't have everything and it's not good for check.
Anything else, Cassandra?
The only other thing I have is just from Dina's side of things, the schools are preparing for their summer break. And so she has sent out information to make sure that all of the information is updated in the Polaris system. And we should have more information out in regards to that. But otherwise, I think that it's just, we're moving forward and really excited about some of these upcoming projects. Jen, I'll go ahead and pass it over to you.
Okay, thank you. Biggest thing is hopefully the next couple of weeks we'll be starting to look at cleanup projects in preparation for Aspen. I'll be reaching out to libraries as I pull reports, mostly focusing on issues with barcodes, the perennial issue of information in the volume field, anything like that that's low-hanging fruit that we can go ahead and clean up now before we have to start looking at merging duplicate records and really doing the bigger cleanup. So my hope in the next couple of weeks, those will start going out to libraries. Other than that, barcoding training is going well. People have been taking it. I want to say we've had at least 200 or 300 completed. So we're well on our way to getting people completed by the end of the year.
But we're not getting a lot of pushback on this new requirement, or?
I've had a few, but after talking to them and them explaining why we had to do it, they're far more understanding and willing. The biggest hurdle has been individuals who don't have email addresses and don't particularly want them. And that's required to be able to do it. That's also allowing me to have contact information for individuals if I need to get a hold of them. So other than that, no, it's been really good.
Good to hear.
Yeah. I'll turn it back to you, Donna.
Okay. So anything else for the chair update? That's it? All right, we're moving right along to new business. And we have a new committee member that I believe we have to vote into membership. Is it Shauna Makey? Did I say that right? Shauna? If you're speaking, we're not hearing you.
Our audio is not connected.
Okay. Okay, well, she is online, and so hopefully she can hear us. I believe last month we also added Rachel. So we took a vote, I believe, to add a new committee member. I was rereading that. So I would entertain a motion to add Shauna to our merry band.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely, Gwen.
I'm just curious, is she a cataloger, barcoder? What is her position?
Yeah, she's in the chat now. So maybe Shauna, you could answer that. Are you a cataloger or a barcoder? She is a cataloger. What library are you from? O'Fallon. Okay. Any other questions? I would entertain them. Go ahead.
Shauna was the one who put together the recommendation for adapter versus author for graphic novels for us.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So I would entertain a motion to add Shauna to our board here.
Oh, this is Jacob. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Jacob. Do I have a second?
This is Carol. I'll second it.
Thank you, Carol. Can we just do an all those in favor?
Or no, we have to do roll call. I'm sorry, because we're online. Roll call vote.
Oh, and I also realized we have not started recording.
I thought I saw that earlier.
Did we?
Yeah, we're recording.
Oh, sorry. On my screen, it wasn't showing anything.
You're fine. Okay, no, sorry. I'll get it.
Okay.
Roll call vote. Sorry, Jace. Yes. Donna?
Yes.
Gwen?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Jacob?
Yes.
Rachel?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Okay.
I think this is nice that we have 9 on this board. That way we're not even in case it does come down to a vote that we're kind of deadlocked on. It's kind of nice to have 9. So thank you, Shauna, for joining us. All right, moving along to 4K Blu-ray discs. Who can speak to this topic?
So recently we had a library reach out. They have a collection of 4K Blu-rays, and they're having issues with patrons either ordering the wrong things or not realizing that's what they are, and they go to play them and it doesn't work. So they're asking if we could add a new material type. It's also gone to the circulation committee, and they would prefer not to add one. And doing to avoid that, I came up with the idea of, on our cataloging Blu-rays, DVDs, and Blu-ray DVD combo packs policy, putting in a section for 4K Blu-rays to hopefully help our patrons better identify that they are that particular format and they don't work with other or normal players. And hopefully that will ease the issue rather than creating a material type, since we're trying to clean those up a little bit. And I believe that went out in a prior email with that addition. If not, I can share my screen.
And when you're saying material type, you mean in the item record, you don't mean a Tom, right?
Yes, I want to say.
Okay. Because I thought Toms are are Polaris specific. They have to do that. Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. We can add the material types.
Yeah, honestly, the material type, I mean, it's good for internal stats, but it would do no good with patrons requesting, because it's every library has autonomy over what they use for material types. So it would really not help solve the problem anyway.
No,
it would, because they could direct their patrons to use that as a field for narrowing down their items. They can do that by material type within the online catalog. So, they could do that.
I believe the catalog shows material type when you're showing a particular item.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that you would, but that would require libraries to be consistent.
Isn't that the point of templates?
No, I'm saying everybody that has the 4Ks to use the 4K. I'm talking about among libraries. I'm not talking about an individual library being consistent. Yeah. Okay. But yeah.
Can I ask a question about the form that we received? I see that you guys have changed the 250, because we already had a policy for the 250 with the 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray DVD. I was just curious, why did we move that to the 347 instead of in the 250?
Oh, I actually missed the one in the 250. My apologies. Then that 250 should stay what it was.
Well, and let me say this, I talked with my circulation manager, and he likes all of that information that you have in there now. So despite the fact that I wouldn't want to type all of that, if it helps the staff in making sure they recognize what's there, I guess more information would probably be better. But I was just curious why it got changed.
Okay, no, the 250 was just me missing that addition statement we already had in place.
Got it.
I based it off of what we did for the PALS format and attempts to hopefully help patrons see it somewhere.
I like the idea of the material type, because I think for internally, I would rather be able to set, we have some 4Ks, and I would like to be able to like separate them from my actual Blu-rays. So even if that was just internal, having that option would be nice.
So what we had discussed was instead of a material type, actually having it identified through a collection code. And the reason that the CERT committee felt that way, of course, adding material types is extremely time intensive, because that's it's thousands and thousands of lines of code. But also, so we're trying to move away from adding material types, especially in this particular scenario, because they're already on 8K DVDs. So it's good to have, as long as the information is still in the record, that it can be searched. But the material type specifically just didn't seem the best vehicle to make sure that that information was added. Does that make sense?
So, do we have any other questions or comments on this topic? So Jennifer, what are we looking for to do here? To re-vote on this particular document, or?
I believe we did vote on the addition of the PALS information. So I would say let's, and I've made the correction, I added the, changed the 250 back to the 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray that we had originally approved. So I'd say a vote on this to accept it, and then it's a minor update. So I don't think it would need to go to membership.
No. What, I need clear, can I get a clear, what are we?
Yeah, what exactly are we voting on?
Okay.
Yeah.
I've lost track, sorry.
Sorry, no, you're good. Adding the 4K Blu-ray section with the recommendations that this information get entered into 4K Blu-ray records.
So you're saying that on page 2 and 3 of the new document that we have here, that the 4K information is all new under DVDs formatted.
Yes. The okay. only thing that remained the same was the 250. I went ahead and changed it back to what was originally approved for the 4K Ultra
from the first page. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're approving a new edition statement of video characteristics and some notes.
Video characteristics and notes. The edition statement won't have changed.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah, that was, yep.
That, okay. Does that help, Gwen?
Yes.
Okay.
So I will entertain a motion to add the 4K Blu-ray information to our policy. Is it a policy or procedure or a best practice? I'm not sure exactly what this document is.
It would be
a policy? Or
is it a best practice, Jacob?
Well, it would be, the best practice is when it has to go to membership for a vote. We have approved it. Has to go to membership, and membership hasn't approved it. It will become policy, because it's not making a 180 on the policy. Mm-hmm. It's adding
a dip.
So it's just, once we approve it, it goes out to membership, and this is the way it is from now forward.
So I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the new policy.
Thank you, Rachel. Can I have a second?
This is Lauren. I'll second.
Thank you, Lauren. Roll call vote.
Okay, Donna?
Yes.
Gwen?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Jacob?
Yes.
Rachel?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Shauna?
She said yes in chat.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you very much. All right, the next topic. Actually, I've discovered this. I do a lot of playaway cataloging. And what I was discovering in some of the records coming out of OCLC as at the 710, they were not really defining the relator term for the different companies that are involved in a playaway. So this was when Shelley Stone was still here and Robert Brady. And so we had discussed what should I use as relator terms. And I don't think it got wide distribution, and I don't know if it ever made it to this committee. I think it was before I was on the committee. So I couldn't find a policy. So this is something I think we should probably make into a best practice or a policy. And then Playaway Products announced that they had been bought out by Penguin, a Random House Audio, which I actually think is a great thing. So I'm hoping the content of Playaway actually turns into something a little bit more robust of what we can actually purchase. So anyway, so this is the current practice was adding the Findaway World LLC as a publisher, Playaway Digital Audio as a distributor. And then if there was a production company, like a previous source, like Recorded Books, that would be added as well. But my question to the committee is that now that Findaway is actually being changed to Penguin Random House Audio, should we do that going forward? And then Playaway Digital Audio to Playaway Products LLC. So that was my question.
It would ultimately depend on how the publisher is listed on the container, because
I believe they have changed the containers. My newest ones, I believe, are changed.
It's going to say Penguin, because just because they were, sometimes this happens with media conglomerations and publishers. Somebody will buy somebody else, but they keep their name as an imprint, and the name doesn't change like that. So that's my question, is just because Penguin owns them, are they still going to be listed as Findaway World? And maybe say something like an imprint of Penguin Random House.
In the actual release, it does say that that the name on the accounts have been updated to Playaway Products LLC. However, payments remitted in the name of Findaway World will be endorsed for a temporary period. Findaway World will be on basically they're breaking off is what I got from that. So I don't think Findaway in the future is going to be on there, but could we have a policy that actually allowed for either or, you know, if it's Findaway, yes, put it in as the publisher. And if it's Playaway Products, put it that in as the publisher. We just don't have any policy on this at all right now.
I'm just trying to think, because we stopped purchasing Playaways a long time ago. So I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to think if this is a policy thing or if this is more of a cataloging 101 thing.
Well, like I said, I was getting a lot of OCLC records without a subfield E to define the relator term. So that was my discussion with Shelley. What should I do, because they were, you know, they were giving error messages in the mark editor. And so I was just like, you know, what do I call this?
You're supposed to have a subfield E. Right. What doesn't work as a last resort, you can make up one technically.
Right. Just
everything in RDA.
But I just thought it should be, you know, consistent. Yeah. And then when I was getting from OCLC, it's not consistent at all. And I do a lot of playaways.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, we're not really purchasing playaways either anymore, but we recently are starting to get Wonder Books and the launch pads from them. And we're actually creating a budget item for them next year. And if I get my cataloging done by then, I have a feeling that I'm going to be doing a lot of that cataloging, because not a lot of them are in the system yet. So it'd be nice to have some guidance there.
I'm kind of with Jacob. Is this a cataloging issue, or is it actually something that this committee needs to make a change on? I would ask Jennifer on that one. Is it?
In my mind, it's a local practice. I would be inclined to say maybe a handout could be made, or a checklist essentially that goes over what to do and the particular headings. But I also look at it. We have the older ones that are going to be one way, the newer ones are going to be another.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it the same with like the things that were recorded books versus now being a part of Blackstone? I mean, I know it's not exactly the same, but we do kind of still have that issue.
Well, and the recorded books Blackstone thing, I think, is almost that Blackstone is still the publisher, but recorded books is still the publisher. Blackstone is the distributor. Or I might have that flipped, but either way, yeah.
You have it right.
Okay, yeah. I mean, we do Blackstone, so I yeah. I mean, a lot of it is just how things are listed on the container and catalogers judge. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's not, and because I do a lot of movie cataloging, and this comes up, is it's who is the publisher, who is the distributor? Because, like, you know, Warner Brothers and Universal, I don't know if they created some conglomerate or what, but the studio, because I remember I had Jennifer actually create the authority file. Because it was like, had been like 6 months and nobody had created the authority file for like the studio distribution services. Mm-hmm. That's like their distributor. And I know it's their distributor, but sometimes the container isn't exactly clear that that's the distributor. But at this point, we know from the internet that is to be 100%. RDA gives you leeway more than AACR did and cataloger's judgment, so we know it's the distributor. And I'm just wondering if some of this might be cataloger's judgment too.
And for the next few months, you could see both names, you could see one, you could see the other, until they possibly get it all straightened out, if they do. Donna, have you seen any come through yet?
I just got a new batch in, but I have to say I didn't check.
Okay.
Because I sent them to my barcoder first with the hope that someone else has added it first.
Yeah.
That it doesn't hit my desk.
So I'd be interested to see what they say.
Okay. But I can certainly look for that because, again, I did just add I got 8 in the other day.
Okay.
So I can look to see what they're doing.
Okay.
So maybe we should just table it and see how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm also seeing OCLC, the subfield E, some of the newer ones are coming in with another word there instead of like publisher, distributor, and I can't remember what it is now. So I don't think they know what to do with it either, those that are cataloging on OCLC. It was something completely like, I was like, why use that word, you know, kind of a thing. So maybe, again, we can just table it. Issuing body. Thank you, Shauna. That was it. I've seen issuing body used in OCLC. That was it. As the subfield E for a later term. And I thought that was an odd choice.
Good. The way to get around, we don't really know what it is yet, but we'll put it there.
Could be.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's keep an eye on it. Let me know what it says. And then if we do find that we need to create a policy, I'd be happy to write it.
Okay.
Or if we just need a handout, we can take care of that too.
Okay. That sounds good to me. All right. Next up on the agenda is the relator terms
author versus adapter. I believe now we have this defined. Is this a policy or a best practice? I'm sorry, I'm fuzzy on when it is and when it isn't.
It is, but it came back where the adapter does not exist as a valid relator term.
Okay.
Per the RDA toolkit, it should be author. However, we use adapter in our translations and adaptations policy.
Isn't, and I know we're supposed to default to RDA when possible, but isn't adapter in the Mark 21 relator terms?
It is.
I would say that's fine then.
Okay.
I don't know if this is actually in policy, but I think standard practice has always been RDA first, then Mark 21, if something in RDA doesn't fit. And then as a last resort, if you think it's really important for identification, make a clear, concise term, make one up. I think that's always been standard practice, but that's as a last resort if something else absolutely does not work.
I want to agree with you because I'm just thinking back. I'm like, I know I've used adapter for a long time.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have thoughts on that before I bring up the second question related to this?
I have a question. I was just curious. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason not to use author instead of adapter for our catalog for in general, because it just seems like most people are gonna know adapter. I'm stuck on what help that would be to people to use an author instead of adapter. Is there a reason not to use adapter?
I can't think of a reason not to use adapter. I find it more useful than author, especially in these situations. Other thoughts though? Okay.
I was also thinking in graphic novels, there's a word, I think it's compiler compiled by, mm-hmm. that they don't seem to have a relator term for that either. And it comes out on my Mark editor that that's like a wrong relator term, mm-hmm. but I thought
there was thing in an RDA for compiler. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
There's something in the graphic novels that I run into a lot. It's not inker or colorist, or those are acceptable. You know, it's something like maybe editor, compiler, or something is not considered a regular term. But
there is editor, I know for sure is an RDA. So maybe compilers in Mark 21.
Yeah.
And I know inker actually isn't in RDA. I do know that one. I usually just use artist for that one.
Yeah.
Colorist and letterer are actual terms in RDA, but
I try to use what's ever on the work itself, you know, and sometimes those words aren't listed. So,
And the thing is too, is they aren't searchable. They're just display terms too. But sometimes when people are looking through a record, it is useful.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are basically looking for a local decision here, right? That we're going to use adapter.
Yeah. We just continue on how we've been doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's in Mark 21. So.
Okay. Do we need a vote on that?
I mean, nothing's changing.
Nothing's changing. Okay.
Although the second question related to this, do we want the English spelling or the American English spelling?
Oh, that's right. I forgot the OR versus the ER.
Yes.
What's in Mark 21? It probably uses American, right?
Let me look.
I would say whatever's in Mark 21, that's what we use.
Okay. I used adapter ER in our policy. Let me. I apologize. I should have had that list up. Oh, ER and Mark. Thank you, Shauna.
then yep, I say that use.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Does anyone have an objection to that using ER? Okay.
Okay.
Is that good? The next topic? Okay.
Yep.
Subfield H in on order records. I don't know if I have documentation on that.
And I don't remember who added that.
On it, if it was my suggestion to you, Jennifer.
Okay. Okay. Oh, thank you.
Not that I was a part of it, but since it was a discussion on the cataloging listserv, I thought it should probably be brought here so it can be discussed. Somebody was mentioning the fact that they thought it should have, it was standard, that was added to the template, which I think it is on the system's template mm-hmm. for on order for audios, or I'm sorry, videos. But it wasn't being added to some people's on order records. And they felt like that H needed to be there so people could recognize it and know that that was what it was. My problem was, of course, is that we weren't telling people that they had to add it. So I didn't think it was fair to accuse people of doing something wrong when it wasn't actually part of the rules or standards that it be added. Now, with that being said, I have done a search of on order records, and I have found one that somebody actually attached to. And so that is my argument for why we should not actually add that subfield H, because somebody will think it is a real record. And Jennifer, just in case you want to know, it is, Angry Birds is the record, and the control number is 342-1850. And so somebody is actually attached and circulating.
Okay. I know Gwen, you're an acquisitions library, and Carol is too. So for one, that's why our on order records are supposed to be, and I stress supposed to be in all capital letters, was the clear sign to barcoders that do not attach unless you are adding an on order record. Do not attach to circulate. My thought is it's always kind of been, you know, we say add the GMD to everything that's not a regular sized print book. So my assumption has always been when you say everything, that includes on order records. Now, if it would make people feel comfortable adding that into the on order policy, I'm totally fine with that. And I will say acquisitions libraries are almost where this issue comes up. It's almost always acquisitions libraries, because when you bring in records from the vendors, be it Ingram, Baker & Taylor, Recorded Books, Midwest Tape, whatever, they do not have the GMD. And the cataloger or whoever is bringing in those on-order vendor records into Polaris is supposed to clean them up, because the vendor records oftentimes are actually meant to be in smaller systems to circulate off of. And that's why the import profile is set to cut out a lot of tags anyway. But I notice when I do my on order, when I do my imports, and we have items, a lot of times our imports latches on to an existing record in the system and doesn't have to bring in the vendor record, that this cleanup is not happening. And I go in and clean up them myself. This has been happening since day one of us being an acquisitions library. So I think that is where the issue lies, is the cleanup is not happening. And I'm And this is everything from them not being in capital letters, which that's why I use Mark Edit, because you can make everything capital letters, to the GMD, to the coding not being right. There's all kinds of stuff that's not right. But that's where the problem lies, is usually with those acquisition vendor records.
So Sean is asking, is there guidance somewhere on how to create an on-order record, and what do we clean them, do the cleanup with?
Okay.
Yes. Well, there.
Sorry.
Oh, you're fine. There is a policy and procedure on order records. I don't know. It was last revised apparently in 2017. It may be time to look at it again.
Mm-hmm. And if you use the templates that are in when you create a new bib record, those have everything you need. If you are not using vendor records and creating from the acquisitions when you're creating your purchase order and using those you can choose when you're creating a purchase order line item, you actually choose the template and it latches on. So yeah, if you're not bringing in a vendor record, but you're doing acquisitions from Polaris itself, that will add all of the stuff. Now you still have to go in and clean up some of the stuff. You can't just leave it, but yeah, it adds the GMD from there. It's just when the vendor records are imported that the GMD is not, you have to go in and add them.
Well, I, as a person who is not an acquisitions library, and then I bring in a record and I'm looking at whether or not I should merge, a lot of times I leave them alone because I don't have enough information to know if it's what I have in my hand.
Yeah. So, and I leave them alone. Well, and I would, you know, at first it annoyed me when people did that, but then I realized, you know, I'd much rather them not merge, then merge the wrong thing.
Right.
Yes, Jacob, you are the reason I do not merge large print, because I had a conversation with you about what you guys get versus what we get, and that I know it's not the same. So I don't merge large print on order records with what we have, because I know yours may be a little different than what we get. So I know there are some people who they're not sure, especially with DVDs. Because I know there are some people who get retail editions, and then there are people who have the other editions, and you cannot tell, you're right, yeah. Donna, from the on-order record, what they're going to get. And so, yeah, we're going to have more records there because people aren't sure it's the same thing.
Well, and the good thing is they actually stopped making those rental editions. So the rental edition DVDs are a thing of the past. So that used to be one of the huge, biggest headaches with merging. Was those rental editions, but those are no more. So, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
But isn't it on the acquisitions libraries then to go back and make sure that those uppercase records, if they actually have the item in hand now, that they don't exist any longer, right? That they're merged into the real one.
Yeah.
It's on you guys who do that, right?
Yeah. And yeah.
Is there a process for purging on order records? Do we have one?
We do not. And that is something we can look into. I know I occasionally go through and clean up just to see if anybody is circulating on them. And if I'm able to identify ones that can be merged, I will. Unfortunately, it's not something I do often enough.
Yeah. And so, I will say a lot of this cleanup that I'm talking about is the exact reason why Joanne gave, and I don't know who she gave it to. I know she gave it to me, and I'm not the only one. Why Joanne gave us bib bulk change permissions. And it was on the agreement, we promised that it would only be for the purpose of on order records, because obviously not everybody gets the bib bulk change, because you can do a massive screw up. But I mean, that is undoable without going back into each individual record. But I don't know who has it and who doesn't. But that was the reason why at least some of us were, some catalogers were given that permission, was to make it easier for adding the GMDs and the 945s and the 099s and the 690 coming attractions and all of that.
Shauna has a good point. Did everybody see that comment?
Yes. She doesn't see particular guidance on this policy page. For example, it doesn't say to delete the 690 coming attractions.
I mean, I think the general thing was the 690 is supposed to come out in the OCLC record, I think, but I don't know if it's actually ever been written down somewhere, or that's just been information that's been passed along.
No, I agree. Shauna, definitely. We can do some type of short walkthrough tutorial. Or
that would be a part of the merge part, right? Do we have a page that has about merging? Because that's when it would be taken out, correct?
Yes, it should come out after merge or before merge. Let me go back to that page.
But this is why I kind of say no to merging, because I don't know these things and, you know.
So I will propose that I and my staff will put together a handout based off of the training we recently did on merging. We'll include information on what acquisitions or other libraries who do merge on order records need to do to make sure that they are up to snuff and cleaned up, including taking out that 690. So that it's written somewhere. Do we need a policy for it though? Or would you just...
I don't think, because I would say this is more just standard guidance practice than anything. I mean, if it would make people feel comfortable, I guess we could, but I do think though, if there are questions about should the GMD be in the on order record, I do think it wouldn't hurt to add that into the on order policy and not just on the assumption, because my assumption has, I think it's clear that if it says the GMD is in all pretty much every record that's not for a regular size print book, that would include on order records. But apparently some people aren't making that assumption. So
it sounds like it just needs to be looked at as a whole now.
Okay.
What, you know, just making sure that we can document as much as possible, whether it's in best practice or policy.
Okay. I will work on updating that one. Does the committee want a statement in there about adding in the subfield H?
I think it's useful from somebody who's not an acquisitions person.
Can we vote on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or not. Do you want whatever everybody wants to do that.
Do you want that vote today, or would you want to see the proposed policy at the next meeting and vote from there? I could bring two different versions, one with it, one without it. I'll leave it up to the committee.
Yeah, I think we should wait to see the whole documentation, because we may have tweaks and additions to it. So could we maybe table, if that's okay with everybody, till the next time? That would be great. I also wonder, how does on order records affect Aspen?
That is a great question.
Because again, if I have a, I'm sorry, my other phone is ringing. It's starting to do stuff. But if I have an on order record in there for, let's say the audiobook of a new title, as well as a large print of the new title, and Aspen is supposed to kind of blend all that together, how does that end up? You know what I mean? What will the public see? Because the whole point of the on order records is so that the public gets to place their hold, that they know we've got it coming.
That is a great question.
Donna, and I'm so sorry, I don't have an answer either, but I will.
That's okay. I'm just posing the question.
I'll reach out to our Aspen representative and try to get some information about that before so we can have that for the next meeting as well.
Yeah, I think that'd be really interesting to see what the impact will be in Aspen. Okay. So we're going to wait, I guess, until the next meeting to see what you guys come up with.
Sounds good.
Okay, sounds good. All right, moving on then. Do we have any other topics under new business? Anything else? Okay.
Oh, wait, can I ask a question?
Sure, Gwen.
I'm just curious, is there any way for libraries to find the popular search terms for our patrons by library? Is there any way, is that something our system can do? So we can find out, you know, what's the keyword that most of our patrons are actually using to search? Is that, I'm not sure this is the committee for that, but is that something that we're able to do?
That might be a Brant and Troy question. If there's some type of SQL search in the back.
Okay, I will direct it to them. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, moving on to our older business, the new thesauri. Okay.
I'm going to turn it over to Josh for that one.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I always ask because I've been having problems with my microphone, so I don't want to waffle on for a minute if no one can even hear me. So I'm excited that we are going to get started using the new thesauri we approved at our last meeting, the Tabletop Games thesauri, and then the thesaurus, and then the Art and Architecture. I did create I'm trying to find it on my computer now. Someone had asked for some examples of games or examples of the use of certain genres for games. So I did create a little short document with some examples for those genres for the Tabletop Gaming Thesaurus. I don't know if this is something we'll want to include with information about this thesaurus or if it's just something we want to have on hand for libraries that may have questions. But yes, that's a little thing that I've got if people want to see that. And then the other new thesaurus issue that I wanted to bring to us is, I guess it's not a thesaurus per se, but Spanish language subject headings. Our practice at Share has been that if a work is in Spanish and the OCLC record has Spanish language subject headings, to keep them, but not to add them, not to add them, and to remove others, or if the work's not in Spanish. And I was hoping that we could consider expanding to encourage libraries who are cataloging Spanish language materials to add those subject headings if they're not present in the records. The obstacle I've run into over the past few weeks is that I'm having a hard time finding a Spanish language subject heading source that's being updated at all. There was one that was updated a lot through the 90s called Bilindex that's been discontinued. I believe the creator passed away and no one ever picked it up. The Queens Public Library, Queens, New York Library, had a pretty extensive subject headings vocabulary that they were using and had been making available to libraries, but their person maintaining that retired and no one has maintained it since. So I guess this is sort of in a way, a non-update, but something I was wondering if we could consider pursuing for our members is finding some source of Spanish language subject headings for use in those records. Because it doesn't do we've got patrons who are primarily Spanish speaking and Spanish reading, it doesn't do them a lot of good to have Spanish language books if all the information in the catalog is in a language they don't read.
Does the Spanish National Library, whatever their equivalent or semi-equivalent of the Library of Congress, have a subject headings list like ours does?
So I have not, I only recently was able to get in contact with people at some of our American libraries to find out that nothing is being maintained. So I haven't yet actually moved on to looking at the National Library of Spain. That's the next step. I don't know.
I don't even know. I'm sure Spain has one. I don't know if Mexico maybe has one too, or some semi-equivalent too. I don't know.
I actually just had that exact same thought. They do. I put the link to their homepage.
Okay.
So it would be something to further look into there. And I'm sure Spain has one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping to have some kind of more prepared information for y'all today, but then found out that none of the American maintained ones that I had been hunting down were being maintained. So we've got some next steps to look at.
And doesn't the policy also, it's for any language, foreign language, not just Spanish too? Am I remembering?
Mm-hmm. Right. That is the case. I just know Spanish is the language that we're going to by far have the most usage of. So I was hoping to tackle that one first.
This is Linda Johnson. I had a comment on this. If we are going to try to accommodate the Spanish speakers in America, we might want to consider sticking with maybe a Mexican one, because the version of Spanish that is spoken in Spain and the version that is spoken in Mexico is quite different. And that might be confusing if we're trying to accommodate those from, I mean, we can't accommodate everybody. Yeah. Obviously, we have immigrants from Spain, but the greatest majority of them are going to be from Latin America. And that would probably be more accessible than the version from Spain.
That would be my sense as well.
But yeah, but I will say though too, that Cuba actually speaks the dialect of Spanish that's spoken in Spain too. So, I mean, we may not have many Spanish immigrants, but I do know we have Cubans.
True. And my high school Spanish teacher was Cuban. So that's how I you know, learned about that from her. I still remember that all those years later.
I think Venezuela does too, speaks the Spanish from Spain too. But then Castilian. There's so many different, there's so many different versions of Spanish. I mean, little things are different. So, but yeah, Mexico is probably the big one.
So definitely we're not, and I did not at any point intend to come today and have us reach some kind of decision on something today, of course, but wanted to put this on our radars, something for us to be looking into. As we consider how we can use this for our patrons at some point in the future, not too distant future, hopefully.
Anything else on this topic?
Not from
me. Okay, would you like it to be put back on the agenda for next time, or do we need further research?
Definitely further research is needed. I think I'll be talking with Jennifer, of course, about this. Okay. I'll talk to Jennifer to see if we want it added for next time or not.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe the next topic on the meeting date and time, there was a survey that went out. Jennifer, do you want to talk to that?
Sure. So the last meeting we had talked about moving our quarterly meeting to a different day to go along with IHLS's practice of no meetings Fridays. So I sent the survey out and I'll share my screen real quick. Okay. And the majority of everyone voted all these options. They all tied. There was no one clear winner. Donna and Cassie and I talked, and I am proposing moving it to the, I want to say, third Thursday at 2. Unless there's any other arguments for or against.
I don't have a real argument against it. I just know that is usually when I am not available. So, okay. I mean, I just, yeah.
Let me double check to make sure I said the right day. I thought I had that email pulled up and I do not. So it'll be just a second. sorry, fourth Thursday at 2. My apologies.
Does that make a difference to you, Gwen?
No, Thursday's still a bad day, but I will see if I can make it work.
Okay. If not, if the committee would prefer to keep it on Fridays, that's fine as well.
Was there another time on Thursday, or is it all day Thursdays are bad for you, Gwen?
No, that time is bad. It's the time.
It's the time. I know that I can't do an early morning on Thursdays. I open a building by myself on Thursdays. So I wouldn't be able to get to my desk and online until about 10:30. What was it like for the morning selections? You said it was pretty much all tied.
Yeah, everything was tied. The only one that was not, that did not have 6 votes was third Thursday at 10. That one had 5 votes.
Because I can't get to my desk in time by 10. So.
Oh. There's also an ethics meeting at IHLS that day as well.
Are we looking at third or fourth Thursdays?
Fourth.
Did we have a selection for 11 o'clock?
We did not.
What do you guys think about late morning?
I like morning meetings. I feel more productive. That's just me.
Shauna says she agrees.
I mean, I'm fine with an 11 o'clock on the fourth Thursday.
It all works for me.
That would be July 27th, I believe. If I did my math and counting right.
Gwen, is that better for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. It's a conflict for Carol. Okay.
Is Friday just easier for everyone?
It is for me.
It is for me. And okay, I applaud that, you know, Illinois Heartland has this thought, but that's okay. I don't know.
Yeah, it's fine.
What is working.
Yeah. So Friday at 10.
Friday at 10. We're staying the same, everybody.
Okay.
Okay. It sounds like we want to stay perfect. The same.
Then we don't even need a vote.
We don't need a vote. Nope. So, all right.
It's still going to be the third Friday, right? Yeah. We're not going to move to the fourth.
Yeah. No,
quarterly.
No.
And it's quarterly.
Yeah. Right.
So
then the date that it's on the agenda is correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Do we have any other old business? Okay. Any public comment? Any announcements? All right, confirming our next meeting then will be Friday, July 21 at 10 a.m.
Yep.
And hearing no other business, we will adjourn the meeting at 11:04 a.m. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.